The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
The Drew Mariani Show. On Relevant Radio.
All right. Hey, thanks for joining us. Good to be with you today. And I was just sharing with the two guests I have in studio with me today, Alfredo and Susan Navarez. They are from San Antonio. They're from Austin, Texas. And I had a great
Buda, Texas.
Buda, Texas. Yeah,
don't insult me with the Austin.
No, I was going to say, I have this broad brushing. It's like saying, hey, you're from Philly. Well, no, not really. I'm from, you know. No, I totally get it. You know, I was sharing with him off air, and I'll share the story with you, too. I said, you know something? It's so weird. We were booking our show this morning. And my show happens to be booked day of. You know, we're a current event news-driven show. So we look at what's unfolding in the culture or the world or in news, and then you know, we address those issues through the eyes of our faith. And what ended up happening was today, we had a segment scheduled for this very time slot, and no matter what we did, it continually got blocked. Guests who were committed had to drop. Other guests couldn't do it. It was just the weirdest thing in the world. And I thought, okay, well, we'll run something else, or I'll fill with this. And I think it's divine providence. I think God wanted you to hear this message today. So often our angels are forgotten, right? We forget them. There are these invisible spirits that God assigns and grants us the great privilege of having their protection. I think the Lord wanted this, and I think there's a reason that Alfredo and Susan are with us today. Alfredo teaches a course on the angels, and they're members of Opus Sanctorum Angelorum. And when we talk about our angels, I think it's important to understand that they are around you. I remember what Padre Pio once said. He was talking not just about angels, but he was talking about demons. And he says, if you could see them, they would blot out the sun. So you think a third of the angels fell, right? So how many angels are there? I mean, they are all around you, as Alfredo said. They wait on you to call on them. And when it's the will of God, when it's done in the right way with enough prayer, I think you can even ask them to intercede, to do your bidding, for you to go on missions, you know, to have your angel speak to somebody else's angel. Maybe you got a big interview coming up, you know, have your angel speak to that person. Or maybe there's trouble with the neighbor or the coworker. I mean, they can intercede and bring peace. Angels are there to guard you. You know, they can be sent maybe to your family members as well. I quite often during the broadcast here, I often say to my angel, please help me remember, right? I mean, there's so often, things will pop into my mind from deep in those recesses of the memory bank, and it's not those memory banks firing, it's off my angel giving me the inspiration. Hey, share this story, or talk about that, or remember this. I think a lot of good thoughts that we have, they originate from them. And so do those uncanny intuitions that tell you to hit the brakes before you go through that intersection or to help somebody else in a time of need. I think we get those inspirations. When something suddenly comes to you, when you just know it, when it turns out to be true, I think it's often the whispering of your angel.
Amen.
So they inform you. They guide you. They were there with the saints, right? St. Joseph, the Virgin Mary. They minister when you're ill, when you're down. And today, I want to honor them. I want to give you a little attention to them, to make up for all the times I've forgotten my angel, and for all the times I made them probably weep. So if you want to join us, you can get into
Triple A. There's a Catholic evangelist who has a great line about that. He goes, you know, guardian angels have the highest unemployment rate because nobody ever asked them to do anything.
That's so true, too, isn't it? I often think of that. Sometimes I will send my angel to protect, you know, my children or to go before me if there's a meeting, to intercede or to vanquish whatever deceptive spirit may be. I was involved in a work, and I won't belabor this. I'll get to the phones. And I could really sense that there was a spirit of division and a spirit of misunderstanding or people were not hearing things that were said, or they weren't recalling what was dialogued about in the past. And it involved a work that was really important and was going to spread great devotion to God. And I could see those deceptive spirits at work, so I often sent my angel and asked, hey, can you go and can you quell those situations? And it indeed worked. All right, well, let's go to the phones. We'll grab a few calls here for you. Let's see who's up next. Let's go to Pam in Auburn. She wants to know where angels are in the Bible. Hi, Pam. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
With everything that you guys are talking about, I'm going to sound like a real skeptic, but I have had this question and been unable to find an answer to it for as long as I can remember, and that is, what evidence is there of guardian angels? that's not angels. I know all about. I know Padre Pio's guardian angel and Faustina's and Saint Catherine. But what evidence is there that we all regular folks have a guardian angel? And are they? That was my thing. And are they only for saints? That's two sides of my question.
All right, great question.
Well, I'll answer the second question first. They're for everyone, and. The first one, I think the greatest example of it is in Scripture where Jesus is talking about the little children, and he says, and he's warning people about, you know, bringing harm to these pure and gentle souls of these little children, because and this is how he qualifies it. He says, because their angels behold the face of God every day. And that's an important thing to remember. He's talking about these little kids, not you know, just these random children that happen to be there in his presence. He wanted to make the point that
because of their angels, I've never noticed that.
Yes, because exactly because their angels behold the face of the Lord, and that's an important distinction because he says their angels. Not my angels, because obviously all the angels, you know, are creatures of God just like we are and are made to love, serve, and know God just like we are. But he specifies that it's their angels. And that, to me, is the clearest indication. I'll tell you one thing. Once you start getting into a little bit more into opening yourself up to this devotion of the angels and so forth, it's like, I don't know if you've ever bought a car. You buy a car like we recently bought a Prius, so we bought a Prius. Well, now I see Priuses everywhere, right? You know, it's like because I own a Prius,
yeah.
I see all these Priuses all over the place. Like, oh my gosh, there's 1,000 Priuses on the road. It becomes that way with the angels. You know, I've read the Bible cover to cover multiple times. I've you know, and then on top of that, you know, gone into a lot of study much deeper in on certain aspects of it. But it's what I found so surprising and actually to my shame was whenever I would come across passages on the angels, I just tended to kind of gloss over them,
right,
and just keep going. But then after I started cultivating this relationship with my angel more and really bringing that and being docile to that guidance, as I mentioned earlier, oh my goodness, the angels fly off the pages of Scripture. They're all over the Old Testament,
yeah.
But they're also all over the New Testament, yeah. and I would ask you to do the same. Be attentive next time you're reading Scripture, and don't be like I was, where I just like glossed over those and kept going. Of how many times the angels just pop off the pages.
And the scripture verse is Matthew. Okay. The scripture verse is Matthew 18:10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven.
I love that. That's great.
Thank you, Susan.
It's a good question, but I mean, honestly, if you open your Bible, whether you start in, you know, you can go from Genesis all the way up to Revelations. There are angels appear throughout the Bible. They appear in the Old Testament to Jacob, you know, he dreams of that ladder. You've got St. Joseph. I mean, how many? You've got Raphael. I mean, you go, there's so many accounts, both in Old and New Testament stories of angels. You know, that's fantastic. And I love the fact that our church is so beautiful with this, because they're a reality. You take a look at the saints that we talked about. We talked about Padre Pio and of course, St. Faustina and so many others. The Fatima children, right? They were met by the angel of Portugal, right? Yeah. The angel of peace. And, I mean, angels manifest across the centuries, but they're so active today, too. And we have an angel here for every country, don't we? How does that work? Yeah.
So the idea behind that and the notion behind that is that every person has an angel, but then a particular office will also have an angel assigned. So, for instance, whenever a priest is ordained, he has his guardian angel, but then he has the angel of his office. Now he has the angel, his priestly angel.
Yeah.
And then he'll get another angel if he's elevated to bishop and then the pope and so forth. And it makes sense, in especially in regards to our clergy. And we don't have to look too far to see it, unfortunately. Think of the constant attack that they are under.
Yeah.
Because we need to remind ourselves, because that's one of the actually there's a kind of a threefold mission within the Opus Sanctorum Angelorum. Yep. One of them is to to be there for the support of our priests. The
spiritual support
of our priests. Yeah. And as you start seeing more and more, my goodness, you'll see just how, you know, as much as we get influenced demonically and attention paid to us, you know, from the evil one. Think about our priests, because remember, without our priests, we have no Eucharist, we have no Mass, we have no sacraments, we have no church. The priests are tantamount and important and foundational to the carrying forth of the church that, you know, God Himself told us will be here until He returns. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But we need those priests. And when, and that's what that's one that's an important thing to think about, is to pray for them. But yeah, so that, to answer Drew's question, and then there's as you mentioned, the angel that appeared to the three children of Fatima identified himself as the angel of Portugal. You know, there's a really beautiful prayer. You can look it up. It's called the prayer to the angel of the United States. You know, because we have our own angel here in the U.S. Your city has an angel. Your family has an angel. Well, how many angels are there? Well, we don't know.
Right.
But what we do know is they numbered as the stars in heaven. Because when we see in the book of Revelation in chapter 12, what do we see? When we see the great serpent sweeping them down, a third of them came down. But two-thirds stayed faithful to God.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for us, the third that came down didn't go to hell. They came down here with us. And so they are actively here amongst us, and thanks be to God that we have a guardian angel.
Yeah.
Because as Drew pointed out earlier, that famous quote from Padre Pio, I mean, they would blot out the sun.
Yeah. I have a friend who's an exorcist, and I talk to him sometimes. He's got to remain private and hidden and that whole type of thing, but he's just telling me that. I mean, you talk about the rise in demonic activity today because of the sin in the world. It is off the charts, and the comfort I have really is knowing that we have so many different angels.
Amen.
They play such a big role too in exorcism. I think it was one. I think it was the film that the Exorcist, that famous 73 movie or 1970, the Exorcist, whatever that was based on. Saint Michael played a role in that as well. So you see angels, you know, so significant. We only have a few minutes. Let me get some more calls in here. A lot of people patiently waiting. Vincent, I think it was the first in. He says he's got a humorous guardian angel story. Vincent, good afternoon. Perfect. How are you? You'll lighten the mood a little bit.
Good afternoon. About 35 years ago, I was in my late 20s, and I was working on a good-sized farm in Wisconsin, and we made about a half-mile of fence. I was working with the owner's teenage son, and we walked home, and we got to the end of the really long driveway, and we took the mail out of the mailbox, and we walked down the driveway, and he says, come on in the house, I'll make hamburgers and french fries for us. And we threw the mail on a completely bare kitchen table. Formica, threw it on top of there. And we went in the next room and we made hamburgers. And when we brought the, we just took a glance in the kitchen again. The mail was not on the table anymore. It was absolutely gone. And we went frantic, and then we had smoke coming from the hamburgers. So we dashed back to the kitchenette, and we turned over the hamburgers. And the teenage boy, he says, "What are we going to do? My dad's going to flip. How could we? We both saw that mail go on the table. Where did it go?" And we took our hamburgers to the kitchen table, and there was the mail right on the middle of the table.
Wow.
And this boy says to me, "You know, my mother always says when something odd like this happens, your guardian angel is pulling a practical joke on you."
<That's>
Any comments? I don't know what I never knew what to think of that whole thing.
Thanks, Vincent.
Well, you know, I will say that if the joke was for your sanctity, then I would agree with that, because ultimately that is what the angel desires, is your sanctity.
Either that, or it's a poltergeist. It's a fallen spirit, you know, maybe exactly. Or. It goes to some sort of interesting story. Vincent, thank you very much for your call. It's good to have you here with us. All right, let's go back. We'll take a few more calls. Velma is listening in Robinsontown, Texas. Hi, Velma. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. And thank you, Drew, for everything you do.
Thank you.
I have a question to ask you. So I do pray to the angel of God, my guardian dear. But I also, when I'm praying it, I also ask, I call upon my children and grandchildren's guardian angel to keep my children and grandchildren safe. Mm-hmm. Do they hear me? I mean, I still do it, but is it in vain or?
No. Prayer for the salvation of anyone, especially children, is never in vain. But yes, like anything else. So an angel's will is completely and perfectly aligned with the will of God. Mm-hmm. They cannot and would not do anything ever that is at odds with the will of God. So that's a good thing to remember, because, and you'll see this in Scripture a lot of times, where you'll see interchangeably that an angel will appear in Scripture, and then you'll see the Lord, the angel, the Lord, kind of like the messaging, and that mm-hmm. and as you start seeing that more and more in Scripture, you start understanding, oh, it's because the angel is so aligned with God that whatever the angel says is the word of God. Like when I tell you something, I'm trying to my best to sit there and make sure that I don't, you know, flub something and make some heretical statement or whatever. But I may, you know, because I'm fallible. Ask my wife. But the angel won't. Anything you get from your angel will always be the absolute truth and the absolute word of God. And with that being said, that's why. And I do want to make this distinction, because some people will talk about their relationship with their angels and naming your angel and so forth. And so there is a hierarchy within the church. The angels and we are both part of the church. But the angels are of a higher order than we are. You know, like I always tell people, the dumbest angel in the world is smarter than the smartest person to ever walked around here. They are a higher being of intellect and reason than any human will ever be. And there's a great story from St. Thomas Aquinas about when he found out how true that statement was. And you got to understand, St. Thomas Aquinas is one of the most brilliant men to ever live in the history of mankind. He stopped writing. He said, I cannot capture, you know, what I experienced. And so this brilliant man stopped writing. So we need to understand that whenever we come to our angel, we come with an attitude of submissive gratitude. Mm-hmm. We ask our angels. We never command. We plead with our angels. But always in the light of the will of God, because we can't sit there and our angel is not our servant slave. Our angel is our servant of love. Yeah. For love of God.
Let's do this. Well, and thank you for your call. I'm going to move along. We have a few minutes. A lot of people very patiently waiting to get on. We'll go to Bernadette in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Bernadette, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I'm calling regarding my son. We had bought our house about 10 years ago, and he picked his bedroom, felt uneasy in it, moved to the spare bedroom, felt uneasy in there as well. He said that he felt something grab him in the night. Mm. So he switched rooms with his sister. And one night he said that he woke up but felt paralyzed. He couldn't move. And he saw someone, like, looking through his desk, looking through his things. And that person looked at him and just flicked his wrist, and he passed right back out. So I always wondered if it was a guardian angel or what it could have been, or if it was just a dream or night terrors or what it could have possibly been.
Well, it could have been a number of things, but it was not his guardian angel, because the guardian angel will never instill that kind of fear in us, that kind of terror. A guardian angel may reprimand us for things that we're doing wrong. And that can obviously, you know, bring other emotions forth. But if we're having interactions with with something of a spiritual nature, and there's that terror aspect to it, then that is not an angel.
Bernard, my sister had a similar experience. I was sharing about her home, right? Here's a couple of things with your son's case. It could be, you know, sleep terror. It could be, you know, sleep paralysis. Maybe so he couldn't move. It could have been a dream. It could be a lot of very logical, psychological reasons behind that. And then from the spiritual side of it, it certainly could have been, you know, some sort of other spirit. Was it a new home that you guys moved into, or just a, your usual home?
It was built in the 70s. Yeah, so it was new to us.
Right, it was new to you. So here's the thing I would recommend you do, and I think it's important. I said the same thing to my sister. In fact, she spoke to this exorcist friend of mine because she had a similar experience where she heard a voice in the middle of the night calling her name out, right? And she was filled with great fear, and she turned over to her husband and said, "You just call my name?" And he said, "No, go back to sleep. I'm sleeping," you know? So, and it happened on a couple occasions. People who visited her home had similar experiences where they felt a presence, somebody standing over them, somebody in the room. And I believe it was certainly a spirit. And I recommended that she get her local priest. And I recommend you do the same thing if you haven't done it and ask them to bless your home. Go in there and bless the home and maybe say some prayers of exorcism on the home. And then, you know, the other thing I'm a big advocate of is bless salt and bless water. Keep them in your home. Keep these sacramentals that the church gives us. I had a neighbor who moved in next to me, and his daughter was having these night terrors. She was only like 5 years old. She would see a scary man in her room. And these guys weren't really Catholic. I mean, they were Catholic, but he was a fallen away Catholic. And so I gave him some blessed salt that I had, and I just sprinkled it under the bed and asked her angel to protect her and asked God's protection. That event that was going on almost on a daily basis ended immediately. So I would recommend you do those things, and if it goes beyond that, then, you know, really consult the church. But hopefully it was just a temporary event, and that was it. I only have a moment or two left here. Alfredo, first of all, I want to thank you and Susan for being with me. I want to get people plugged in. There are a lot of people who are listening. They want to know more about their angels. I mean, they may, like me, sometimes forget about them or have never been taught about them. They just read these stories or they'll watch these movies where they think when somebody dies, they become an angel, and that could not be further from the truth. You probably should address that very quickly since I brought it up. But resources for those who want to learn more and enter into a deeper relationship with their angel.
So the best resources I can give you is go to opusangelorum.org. That's opusangelorum.org. That has a wealth of information on the angelic. And it also has, if you have a desire to learn more about the consecration process, you can do so there and then also apply to consecrate yourself to your guardian angel. And as Dawn, who called earlier, said, she's already done the consecration, I believe, both to the guardian angel and to all the holy angels. I highly, highly, highly recommend that you do so. It's one of those things that I think you'll look back in your life and you'll so appreciate the fact that you spent those months cultivating and working on the relationship with your guardian angel. So again, that's opusangelorum.org. And again, if there's ever any questions, I have a my website is texasangelorum.com, and you can reach me through there.
All right, sounds great. Hey, thank you both, Susan. Thank you for being here with us. Great support, I know, for your husband. And Alfredo, we'll catch up.
Absolutely.
Right? I have to take a short pause here. When we come back, we'll move on. There's some other developments in the country. I think we should call upon, you know, not only our angels, but the angel that God has assigned for this country, for the battle that we are seeing. And I'll fill you in on some things that went down when I return. All right, stay with me.
No one ever said that life would be easy, but no one ever said you had to walk through it alone. The Drew Mariani Show, your life connected on Relevant Radio.
All right. It's good to be back here with you today. Thank you for joining me. I know you're just listening. We're talking about angels. I want to share a quick story with you on angels, and we'll get some more thoughts from Alfredo and his wife, Susan. They are here, and we'll take a few more of your calls. I know several people have been waiting to join us. And then I'm going to have to change gears. But Mother Angelica, many of you know Mother Angelica, right? She was over in Italy one time, and she was heading to, I believe it was Mount Gargano in Italy. This was years ago. And she was on her way from Assisi, where St. Francis was from, right? And she had what she shared was just an extraordinary encounter with an angel. And the story was told by a very close companion of hers, Deacon Bill Steltemeyer, who God has called home. And he shared the story that they were about 20 miles from the cave of St. Michael, right? The archangel in Gargano. That's a site where apparently St. Michael had appeared as a historic site of just heavenly wonders and all sorts of healing and protection. So when Mother Angelica and Deacon Steltemeyer and these three nuns found themselves at a crossroads, they couldn't decide which way they were going to turn. There was a road to the left and a road on the right, and there were just no signs. And it was basically a dead end. They didn't know where they had to go. This is before they had GPS, right? And all of a sudden, she says, you know, all that was around them was this stony hill, maybe occasional livestock. It was just totally barren. They were in the middle of nowhere, right? So the deacon said, look, we slowed down as we came to this intersection. And all of a sudden, we saw a car. It was coming very fast from the left. It was speeding. And I rolled down my window. I wanted to ask for directions. And he slowed down to about 30 miles an hour. And there were a whole bunch of these very handsome, really handsome men in that car. Three in the front seat and three in the back. So I remember, this was a small car. It really struck me. So I'm trying to wave at them. And they were all looking at us, smiling. And all of a sudden, a young man jumps out of the back seat on the other side of the car while it's going 30 miles an hour. And he heads straight for us. The car never stopped. It just kept going. And all of a sudden, he came out of the back, and I was just flabbergasted, Deacon said. He walks to me. And again, I have to say this. He says, I just see he's just so handsome. He just couldn't get over how handsome this particular man was. And I was wondering, how did he get out of that car? That car was doing 30 miles an hour. And Mother Angelica started to say, it's an angel. It's an angel. It's an angel. And so because I was just totally surprised. I knew Mother Angelica was saying it was an angel, but I'd never seen one. And I was ready to ask him, you know, the way to the top of Gargano. And without saying anything, he points to the mountain to the right, and he says, that way to Gargano. Now, I hadn't said a word to him. He knew exactly what we were talking about and where we wanted to go. And he said it, not in Italian, he said it in perfect English. Now, again, he didn't know. There was not a word spoken to him. He spoke in perfect English. But, you know, he was as Italian as everyone else. As Italian as anyone I ever saw, he saw. And again, he was just extremely handsome. Maybe 22, very dynamic, yet extraordinarily young. And I knew there was something about him that was different. You know, something about him that there was a beauty that emanated from within him that perhaps made him handsome. And so I asked, because the other car took off, I asked him if he wanted a ride. And he said he'd go back to the intersection where there were no houses, no humans for 25 miles. It was desolate, right? Just livestock and hillside. And apparently, you know, they got in their car. They began to take off. Mother Angelica kept repeating, it's an angel, it's an angel. You know, they started up the hill, and the nuns were looking back at the strange man who looked 22, yet didn't look 22, they said. And they saw the stranger walk in a pattern that formed a cross, 15 one way, and then up and down across six or seven times. And then all of a sudden, he vanished. He was gone. The helpful man disappeared. That's Mother Angelica, right? And that's this deacon who testified to that particular account. And I'm sure you've had very similar circumstances. I have. I've been saved from car accidents. I've had angels wake me up at critical times. I've had, you know, in order to have me make a meeting, or I mean, it's just amazing the way they've come, you know, for directions. And so during the collapse of the World Trade Towers, many angel accounts were reported at that particular time. And there's a phenomena going on across the country right now, too, where many people report a mysterious hitchhiker who is being picked up in these cars, and the person who gets into the back seat warns that the trumpet of Gabriel is about to blow, and then they vanish. Now, is it an urban myth? It might be. Or is there something more to it? I don't know. If you want to join me, I only have, as I said, Alfredo, maybe another 10 minutes. You can get in 888-914 9149. I'll take a few more of your calls. But Alfredo, Susan, let me ask you, have you ever had a brush with the angelic? Have you encountered your angel? You know that that was indeed an angel.
So as Alfredo said earlier, our angels speak to our reason and the demons speak to our emotions. And so the encounter that I had was with asking my angel to speak reason to my mind. So I'm a stepmother to Alfredo's five girls. And for those of you who are step-parents, you know, you can understand how sometimes thoughts get into our mind about, like, oh, why is this happening and why is this happening? So, and I'll share this story. I've already shared it with the girl's mom, so it's not like it's not public record. So for a long time, I'd always felt that the girl's mom would come to our house, and I would get upset, like, why does she come? And she just doesn't even ask if she can come over here. And I would get really huffy and puffy. Yeah. And so one time, one of the girls was sick. And so her mom called and said, hey, I'm going to be bringing some medicine over. And I'm like, okay. And so hung up. And in my mind, again, here comes my emotions. She doesn't even ask if she can come, and why is she coming? Actually, she didn't tell me. I just remember she did not tell me why she was coming. She just said, hey, I'm going to come over to see the girls. I'm like, okay. And so so she came. No, before she came, I started praying to my angel. I said, guardian angel, please speak to my reason, because my emotions are getting the best of me. Please speak to my reason. And then I just felt like a little voice say to me, she's just coming to give her daughter some medicine. I'm like, oh. And so all those emotions just bam, they disappeared. So that was my supernatural brush with my angel, just speaking to my reasoning and giving me common sense.
It was like Alfredo's story about purifying the thoughts. What about you, Alfredo?
Oh, there's been quite a few. I'm trying to think of one that stands out to me, though. Along the same lines, so when Susan and I got to know each other when we were dating, and at first, you know, I knew Susan was a special woman, obviously, an absolute treasure. But I started getting – so an interesting thing for me is I went years without having any dreams that I recalled. Like, I would just go to sleep, and I would wake up, no dreams. You know, and I'm not talking about random somatic firings that you have, you know, during the night. But I had no discernible dream at the end, and this went on for years. But then after she and I started dating, I had two dreams, you know, within the span of just a couple of days, both pointing to the fact that this was going to be the woman that I married. And now looking back on that, I know that was my angel just telling me. And I guess, for lack of a better term, encouraging me to continue down this path. Yeah. And so that to me is one of the ones that stands out, because, you know, I didn't ask for that thing. We were just getting to know each other at the time, and two separate occasions, you know, for a man that had no dreams, I had two dreams, both about her, but both importantly, that in marrying her together, we would be able to do something for God that we wouldn't be able to do apart.
Yeah, I love that. I love both those stories. I love the story you shared a little bit earlier. If you missed it, you can go back to, the second hour of today's show. We'll have it up in the archives. You're going to revisit a lot of the stories, a lot of the teachings that we've had on the angelic, and how Alfredo talks about how an angel can purify your thought. Great, great concept. If you're just joining us, we were talking about the angelic, and they're fascinating creatures of God's, shrouded in great mystery. They are given to us. Every person in the world has a guardian angel, whether they are Catholic, Christian, or not.
Correct.
You know, it's important to know that. Guardian angels are given to you. They're appointed at the beginning of life. You know, you don't die because you live a good life and you go up and become an angel like we see in some Christmas movies, you know. A lot of people want to believe that. And guardian angels have names. But God gives the angels those names.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we don't become guardian angels. That's a big thing for me. It's one of the biggest misconceptions, and the asking of, can you name your angel? It's the other one that comes up a lot. But they're here to help us. So, it's great to have you guys in studio with me here. And I do appreciate it. I'll take one quick call, and then I'm going to change gears. Who is up next, Patrick? I know we got a lot of calls here. Who did you want to go to? Let's go to Bernadette in Orland Park, Illinois. Bernadette, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
I greatly appreciate your work.
Thank you.
In the great sense of St. Monica interceding for her son, yeah. Can just a simple mother, earthly mother, intercede for her sons, especially one that is given the cross of mental illness mm-hmm. and doesn't know to speak to his angel? Can a mother intercede and ask her angel to speak to his angel and ask for the erasing of painful memories?
Great question.
Absolutely. And thank you for those prayers, and that loving sacrifice that you show for your child.
It's our vocation as a family.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things I'm a father to five girls. But the relationship changes obviously because, you know, while they're your child, they're no longer children, but they will never stop being your child. You know, I was talking to one of my daughters because she was having an issue with dad being in her business, so to speak. and so I reminded her that as long as I have breath in my body, yeah. I will be in her business yeah. because she is my business. She was given to me as a gift from God mm-hmm. as a soul to help form and sanctify. And that doesn't end when they get older.
Right.
Now, the way that the authority structure works changes because now we're both adults. But I still have a duty and obligation to sit there and pray for them, and especially to ask for help from not only my guardian angel, but their guardian angel. And again, like I mentioned before, the guardian angel for your son seeks nothing more than your son's sanctification. And it's a heavy cross to bear, you know, when you have something like a mental illness, yeah. something that clouds judgment and clouds perception. But don't be afraid to sit there and always, always show love to your child, no matter how old they are. And remind them, you know, regardless of what state they happen to be in, yeah. remind him that he has an angel. Because,
yeah.
you know, there's still a semblance of intellect and reason in all of us, even whenever we're battling those kinds of demons.
Bernadette, just back to your point as a Monica for your Augustine, the prayers of a mother are extraordinarily Amen. Powerful. And a father, too. We should never underestimate our prayers as parents. I think they reach the throne of God. You can certainly ask your angel to talk to his angel. And I think that's a great thing to do. Mm-hmm. But
well, it was the prayers of my mother that she prayed for me every single day. I was away from the church for 16 years.
Yeah.
And she prayed for me every single day to St. Joseph. I didn't know this. Yeah. And then when I came back to the faith, I happened to join San Jose Parish, St. Joseph's yeah. Parish. And
wow.
I called my mother that day, yeah. that evening, and she just was praising God. And she goes, you know, since you left the church, I had prayed to St. Joseph every single wow. day for you. And so just continue. And in my case, it was 16 years.
Yeah, I love it. And you've got a great story. We don't have time to share it, but I'd love to. You should share that story because you were a wild child.
A little bit, yeah.
You were on the highway to hell, right? That was your theme song.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir. I think I wrote the song.
but look at the power of a mother's prayer.
Amen.
You know, to Bernadette and to others. Look at you're on fire now. You're promoting devotion to the angels. You've done mm-hmm. so much on so many different levels. And I really am grateful for your witness. And I know you're a great father. My wife and I are super impressed by the way you raise your daughter. And you are a great stepmom.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for both being here.
I'm writing a book, just kind of a little note. I'm writing a book. Hopefully it'll be out soon for stepmoms from a Catholic perspective.
You let me know. Okay. We'll talk about it on the air. There's a lot of stepmoms out there who are probably saying, thank God, I could use that. Hey, I got to take a short break. Michael New is going to be joining me when I come back. I often say time's the enemy. I wish I had 5 hours a day to hang out with you. 8 hours, you know. It's so much to talk about. But I'm approaching the twilight of today's show. I'll be back in a moment. We'll talk more. Stay with me.
Got
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Get all the news and issues of the day. News and issues of the day. Right now.
Right now.
This is the Drew Mariani Show, getting you connected on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's great to be with you today. Hey, I was speaking earlier in the broadcast, hour one of today's show. You can go to the podcast at relevantradio.com and check it out with Congressman Fortenberry. Jeff Fortenberry stopped by, and we're talking about a lot of different issues that were unfolding, and apparently he was... There was a big debate over the Hyde Amendment, and of course, there was a press conference that was held there. And life is one of these great issues that I think is at the heart of our country today. And unfortunately, too many are getting it wrong. You know, and it looks like you can look at it two ways: the glass is half empty or half full. Pro-abortion people who are blocking, you know, pro-life processions in Brooklyn. I don't know if you heard about that story at all. Think they've got a good cause to be angry with pro-lifers. But I'll tell you what, here's what's happening. And I want to light a candle. I want to give you a little bit of good news here. The Guttmacher Institute, which is the research arm of the pro-abortion lobby, they came up with a report earlier this month calling this year. Now, listen to this headline. I just love it. You know, here's their headline, right? The worst legislative year for U.S. abortion rights ever. That's the headline. I say, yeah, all right, bravo. I'm loving it. That's the Guttmacher Institute. It's a research arm of the Culture of Death, of the pro-abortion lobby, right? Their headline, the worst legislative year of the U.S. abortion rights ever. What's that translate into? Let me translate it for you. That means it was the best year ever for protecting the lives of innocent unborn children by laws passed at the state level. 90 laws, 90, count them, 90 were passed all around the country that actually protect the lives of unborn children. That's a record. And we should be celebrating that. Just to a personal note here, not to take credit for this, right? But one of the things Relevant Radio has been doing, they've been praying the Memorare daily. We've been praying for an end to the culture of death. And this is all the fruit of that prayer. There are great organizations out there like Charlotte Lozier, the Institute, and so many others that are on the front line, so many people trying to educate, so many great congresspeople and senators out there that are pro-life. We're going to win. We are on the right side of history. If you are for life, if you are on the winning, you know, if you are for the child in the womb, if you are to uphold the dignity of the human person, even at the end of life, then you are on the right side of history. Life is winning. In fact, some of the laws right now set limits for the stage in pregnancy when an abortion can occur. That's huge. Others protect babies with Down syndrome, which are in the crosshairs of the culture of death. And others say that the state's going to outlaw abortion completely when Roe v. Wade is overturned. So we should celebrate that, right? That's great news. I'm joined right now by Michael New. He's associate scholar at Charlotte Lozier's Institute and a research associate at the Bush School at the Catholic University of America. You can check him out at CUA.org. His Twitter handle, if you want to follow him, always informative. It's Michael_J_New. Michael_J_New. Follow him on Twitter there and follow us as well here at the show. He joins me today to celebrate some of these incredible victories that we are seeing. Michael, good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You analyzed this year's victories, right? You found that there was a substantial difference between them and the previous record-holding year. And I don't know why, it's other than grace of God's at work and our efforts are bearing good fruit. Give us a picture of what's happening between, let's say, 2011 and where we are a decade later. What's the difference, and what are we seeing?
Well, sure. I mean, the news is great. I mean, we have already passed 90 state-level pro-life laws. We've already set the record. The previous record was 89, which was set back in 2011. But it's important to remember that the situation in 2011 was a lot different than the situation we face today. That in 2011, a lot of what we were doing was playing defense. 2011 was the first calendar year, or full calendar year, after President Obama signed the Affordable Care Act. So pro-lifers had to play defense. We had to pass laws at the state level, protecting the conscience rights of healthcare workers. We had to pass laws that would limit taxpayer funding of abortion through the subsidized insurance plans available on the state-based exchanges. So a lot of the laws we passed in 2011 were kind of defensive in nature. Right now, we're on offense, and I could go on and on about the great things happening at the state level that Idaho, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Texas, they have passed heartbeat bills that would ban abortion after a fetal heartbeat could be detected after 6 weeks gestation. Arkansas and Oklahoma have passed laws that pretty much protect all unborn children in the state. Montana passed a 20-week ban. We've had 8 states pass laws that would limit the availability of dangerous chemical abortion drugs. 5 states have passed laws to protect children born after attempted abortions. So I can go on and on. Oklahoma and Texas have passed laws that would protect unborn children if Roe v. Wade's overturned. So again, lots of states doing great things and lots of reasons for optimism.
That's fantastic. My guest today, Michael New, we're celebrating some good news. I'm curious, from your perspective, somebody who's really on the front lines of this, what would you consider to be the most significant of the laws that were passed?
I think the fact that you have some states like Arkansas and Oklahoma willing to pass laws to protect all pre-born children, Alabama passed a similar law a couple years ago, that just really sends a very strong message that in certain parts of the country, people don't want to tinker at the margins. They really want laws that are really comprehensive and provide very serious protection for all unborn children. So obviously, these laws wouldn't pass in every state, but in conservative parts of the country, in the South, in the Midwest, people really do like these laws, that they enjoy strong political support, and people really do favor strong legal protections for the preborn.
Just in terms of 2021 and moving forward, what do you forecast? What do you see coming?
Well, I don't think we're going to quite keep this pace up for the rest of the year. Not every state legislature meets the whole year. Many of them are part-time, so I don't think we're going to pass another 90 laws in the next 6 months. But I think these trends are going to continue. You know, I think that states are excited about what's happening at the federal level. You know, President Trump had the Supreme Court nominations of Amy Coney Barrett, Neil Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh. I think that's really emboldened a lot of these states. I think there's a lot of excitement about the fact that the Supreme Court is going to hold a hearing on the Mississippi law that would ban abortion after 15 weeks gestation. If that law is upheld, that would really open the door to more protections later on. So, again, I think there's a lot of reason for optimism.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, I often wonder what happens when Roe v. Wade falls, and it will be overturned one day. And, of course, we know the battle's going to go to the states. But let's just suppose, you know, Roe v. Wade's overturned in the next session by the case from, I think it's Mississippi. What happens to all these laws? Because there are a number of laws right now that are being contested. Do they just get tossed out? What happens?
If Roe v. Wade is struck down, there are some states that still have, like, existing laws on the books that would go into effect and start protecting preborn children. I think that a lot of these laws that are kind of tied up, you know, in appeals would likely go into effect. You know, that essentially, you know, Roe v. Wade effectively invalidates a lot of these laws that protect the preborn children. But if Roe v. Wade struck down and validated, and states are free to enact laws to protect the preborn, many of these laws would go into effect. So that's a very exciting prospect and one we should certainly look forward to.
Hey, final thoughts here for you, Michael. The divide between pro-life states and pro-abortion states, where are we right now? I know life is winning here. What's that look like? I mean, how's our country divided?
Well, the country is divided. Sadly, you do have some states that are doing things to expand access to abortion and make their laws more permissive. In recent years, Illinois has started covering abortion through their state Medicaid program. Maine started covering abortion through their state Medicaid program. Massachusetts weakened their parental involvement law. Virginia repealed their informed consent law and waiting period. So we really do have a divide, but we're doing well in a lot of states. That Republicans control both chambers of the state legislature in 30 states. Republicans have unified control of government in 23 states. That makes it a lot easier to pass these laws. But again, even in blue states, there's always things people can do to build a culture of life. They can support pregnancy help centers. Right. They can pray. They can sidewalk counsel. It's not going to be easy. But again, I think we're on the right track, and we're making quite a lot of progress.
Well, Michael, thank you. We'll follow you on Twitter at your handle, at Michael_J_New. And, of course, grateful for the great work that the Charlotte Lozier Institute does. I'm out of time for the day, Michael. We'll have to catch up again soon, okay? Appreciate it.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me.
You know, final thought here. Legislation alone, you know, as we talk about this, is not going to completely end abortion. I really believe, that is animated by prayer and fasting and penance. We need a conversion of heart in this country. We need it around the world.
And it doesn't just happen through education or legislation. Those things get animated by our prayer. Let's pray and sacrifice for an end to the culture of death. Of course, you can join Father Rocky at 7 p.m. For the rosary. I think it's a powerful prayer, especially in this fight. I'm Drew Mariani. Until we talk again, remember God loves you, and so do I.